number five. Preacher, is this mine? Is this my water? Well, that's big man, little cup right there. That's going to be rough. If I was pastor, I'd have me like a hose pipe or something run up right here, you know. But Romans chapter number 5. And Brother Anthony, do I have this thing run up too high? Is that? Oh, that's good. All right. All right. Romans chapter 5, verse 18. If you'd stand, please. Let me look at our text. We could read this whole chapter right here. Real good chapter. Has a lot to do with man's fall. Has a lot to do with God redeeming man. A lot of redemption. A lot of man falling and God coming right back and showing us how he redeemed us and brought him back to himself. But for time's sake, we'll pick up in verse 18 and read through verse 21. It says, therefore, as by the offense of one, now that's Adam, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. That's the Lord Jesus. That's who they've been singing about all night. And I tell you, I agree with the preacher. If you didn't get excited about that, sitting right there in front of my parents and with my family, knowing my family's over here, know a lot of 90% of everybody that's in here, been going to church with them for years. I remember when I came in here lost. I remember about three or four services I came in here and had. Now, I remember somebody asked me, said, you got you a King James Bible? And I said, who in the world is King James? I had no idea. I had Moses in the ark and Noah leading God's people. I mean, I had no idea nothing about the Bible. I had heard about Jesus, didn't know that he died for me, didn't know he raised from the dead for me. We went to a Methodist church. Preacher didn't even preach. I don't even know that he carried a Bible much. I don't know. They're more interested in being kind of Catholic than anything. But I remember coming in here on a Sunday morning, January the 10th of 2000. It was one of the first Sunday mornings of this new millennium that we're serving the Lord in. And came in and sat right over there where Brother Grubbs is sitting. And I sat about three people in that morning. My brother was on one side. He wasn't quite married yet, so he couldn't sit beside his fiancée. He was on one side. My mama was on another side. And Preacher Stewart got up that morning and he preached on hidden sin. Now, he didn't necessarily bring the gospel home. He did get Jesus on the cross and off the cross enough where I can understand. But God Almighty had a hold of my heart that morning, January the 10th of 2000. I came in that morning. I was a rebellious, wild as could be, wild as a buck teenager. But I left that morning after getting on that altar. But I'll be honest with you, I got saved. I don't know how I did it, but my brother got out one side and mama got out the other. And I beat him to the altar because I remember my brother coming onto my back asking me if I need to get saved. I told myself, I think I already have. And I didn't know anything about it. I don't know, but I know the Lord Jesus is real. We serve real, real God this evening. And right here where it says that is by the offense of one, that was a real fall. Man fell. But by the justification of one great life, one sinless life, that Jordan just sang about it. By that one life, Jesus bought it back. And I appreciate that this evening. I'm excited about the Lord's I'm excited about being saved. Been saved 10 years and about 8 months, somewhere around 7 months and a few days. And I appreciate the Lord this evening. And definitely going to get some more water in a minute, brother. Is it unlocked? You keep a lock on this thing? All right. I'll get me some in a second. I'll try to. All right. But verse 19, verse of Romans chapter 5 says, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. That's basically just saying the law entered so we'd all find out that we were guilty. You know, the law's for us. You know, I mean, we don't keep all the laws of the Old Testament. We keep principles of the Old Testament. We don't keep all the laws of the Old Testament. There's certain laws that every one of us in here be dead for this evening. If we were keeping the law, that's true. If you sassed your parents twice, that was it. You sassed your parents first time, they were supposed to take you around the town and you were supposed to have had an altercation with your father and he was supposed to discipline you. And the second time, you were stoned to death by the elders of the city. Now, raise your hand if you've never sassed your parents twice. I'm not raising mine because I haven't. I'm raising mine just for an example. And so the law entered that we might know that we were guilty. Okay? Now, no doubt, I mean, because Adam came with the sacrifice, God plainly told man after he sinned and before he sinned that you were going to be guilty if you sinned. Y'all understand what I'm saying? They knew that they were guilty, but for a written down law, God gave man a written law to let them know that we were guilty. And we still have that today in this preserved Word of God. We know. You open this Bible up and read things and things that I do in my life, things that you do in your life, and God points it out and pricks your heart with it, lets you know, guilty. Okay, there ain't one in here. I'll go ahead and tell you, you might not have repented, but you're already guilty. God said you're already condemned. You're already condemned. Condemned to what? Condemned to hell without the Lord Jesus Christ. But there is hope, and hopefully we can get into that this evening. But verse 20 in the last part says, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That, I'll tell you, if I didn't have a life first, I'd write Romans 5:20 down and I'd sign everybody's Bible, Romans, because where sin abounded, every one of us could stand up tonight and testify that one day that sin abounded. One day I can take you back and tell you, if you want, tell you that sin abounded, but now grace abounds. The grace already abounded, but I didn't know about it. I tapped into it. I got a hold of it. And I'm glad that God let me do so. Verse 21 says, that as sin hath reigned unto death, and still does, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, when I read these four verses that I just read, when it talks about sin, I can almost in the back of my mind see the devil. And when it talks about life here, I can definitely, and it mentions it several times, I can see the Lord Jesus. It's kind of like the good and the bad. You know, you understand what I'm saying? It's like the sin thing, you know, is the dark side. And then the Lord Jesus has the light turned on. So hopefully the Lord will help us this evening. Let's pray so y'all can get seated. Let's pray. Lord, I appreciate the opportunity to preach. Lord, I know that God, if left up to myself, Lord, I'd fail you miserably. But God, I need your touch. I desire your touch. Lord, I'm not up here. I don't want to be up here for any show or any popularity contest. Not trying to out-preach anybody. But Lord, I just want to preach the message you put on my heart. And Lord, I pray tonight you just help me to get it out like you gave it to me. And I'd appreciate it. Lord, I know there might be somebody lost here tonight. I don't know the hearts. There's probably people here hurting tonight. And Lord, I pray that you'd speak through me, that I might be able to say something to encourage. The Word of God, Lord, might be able to speak to their hearts. We know it's alive, it's a living book, and I know you can do it. We put our trust and our faith in you, and we thank you for what you're going to do for us, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. And you can be seated. When you read in these verses right here, there's a lot of words that jump out to you when you think about sin. You can look back in you can look back in verse 12. It says that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. When you read through here, you'll see the word offense. You'll see the word death, the word judgment, the word condemnation, the word wrath. And all these words have to do with sin. When man sinned, he offended God. He put an offense toward God. When Adam was in the garden, and God would come and walk with him in the cool of the day. Adam was innocent, I guess you would say. Even called the age of innocence or whatnot. And Adam could walk with God. But when Eve fell prey to the devil, and when Adam sinned by eating, by taking of that fruit, and the woman did it, no matter what you say, but man got the blame for it. My wife told me I better not get in trouble up here. I tried to get it out early. She might forget about it. I preach another 45 minutes, she might forget, but probably not. But anywho, but you read through here and you see these words, and that's what it makes you think about. And but at the same time, you also read through here and you see the word gift, free, life, righteousness, justification, abundance, reconciled. And you think about what the Lord's done for us. These are encouraging words. With things that we could all, if we've been born again, we could all just put them on our list. I've seen the free gift. Ephesians 2 and verse 8 says on there that I wrote that down so I wouldn't forget. It says, hold on, I wrote it down right here. Let's see. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. God gave it to us freely. There ain't a person in here that could work it up. I can't work it up. I've heard Brother Mark testify several times about being steeped in Catholicism, steeped in man's religion, what man thinks you have to do to get to heaven works. And don't get me wrong, I think if you are saved, you're going to show it. It's going to show up in your life. You're going to be here at the house of God. When the tithing plate's passed around, it's, you know, if you made some money that week, it's going to be something in there from you. And preacher didn't ask me to say that, by the way. But no, if you are saved, there's going to be some works, but it's not works that saved you. The morning I came down here and got saved, I did not work anything up within myself. I had no plans of getting saved. I didn't know what getting saved meant. I remember my brother, I asked him to go do a certain thing after he had gotten saved, and he told me, he said, I can't. He said, I serve Jesus now. I didn't understand that. It was about 4 or 5 months later before I heard the gospel again. I'd heard it one other time, but the devil had blinded me as much, I didn't even get anything out of it. The next time I was able to get something. But I like I say, you read these words and you read death and judgment, condemnation and wrath and offense, and you think about sin. Sin makes people slaves. Before you got saved, you were a slave to sin. It says, wherefore by as one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Sin didn't just bring a sickness, it brought death. I mean, man's going to have to die and pay for the rest of his eternity, the rest of God's eternity, rather. He's going to have to pay for his sin and never get it paid for. That's why the Bible says the wages of sin is death. The thing is, you can never pay that wage. If I get somebody to come work for me and I say, I'm giving you this, and they come out and work for me, I can pay that wage. But you can never pay the wage of sin. It don't matter what you do. It don't matter how good you are. It don't matter how many beads you count. It don't matter how many statues you bow before. You can never pay the wages of sin. You can't give enough to this church. You can try, but you can't give enough money to this church to pay your way into heaven. And people try it all the time. But sin controls wicked men. Sin, everybody in here at one time, you might be a saved sinner, but there's two classes of people. There's saved sinners and there's lost sinners. The person you're sitting beside might be a lost sinner. You ain't a bit better than them other than you have tasted of God's grace this evening. Amen? A lot of times we're guilty. I'm guilty. We look at people, they're in certain sinful situations, and we say, how in the world? If it was that, without God's grace, it'd be you in that situation. It'd be me. I made up of the same clay. Amen. God said, the Bible says, God remembers that our frame is dust. That's everybody. We're all, God. When God scooped up a little bit of dirt, God said he remembers that our frame is dust. Everybody in here is a sinner. You're either saved or you're lost. Sin's attraction. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 5, this is the last part of the verse. This is Satan speaking to Eve here. Says, you shall be as gods. Now, what did Eve get out of that? How did Eve get tempted by the devil, by Satan telling her, you shall be as a god? Well, you think she knew who God was. She knew the power he had, the prestige he had. When he walked around, no doubt the animals bowed before him before the curse took place. But when he walked around, they knew that he could just tell them, I did this. Before you were alive, I made this. I scooped this out. I meted these stars out. I hung the moon here. I did this with the sun. She knew the power of God. And when Satan told her, you shall be as gods, she knew that she could have this prestige. Sin's attracting. Even after you get saved, if you ain't careful walking with God, sin will be attracted to these eyes. You got certain gates. You got an ear gate, a mouth gate, an eye gate, and all. And you look at something. You look at a certain goal, it might be money. People look at money. That's, you watch the economy, how it failed. People still able to get by, but they can't make that money like they used to. Can't bank no money. They can pay the bills, but they can't bank anything. You know, the savings account ain't growing right now, but the bills can be paid. You can keep on living. Amen? But Eve saw this right here. It was sin's attraction to her. She knew she could be as God. And if you're lost this morning, I know sin can be attractive. And for the young people, sin can be very attractive. It can be, and the devil tempts you at different stages of your life with different things. He might tempt me with something differently than he would tempt one of the teenagers with. He might tempt one of the teenagers with somebody else. You know, I'll tell you, parents, I would be, I would have the strict, you can't set rules too strict for your teenagers. I believe that. You cannot, you can't, you can set them loose enough. You can beat her best buddy, but I tell you, at the same time, you can give them in a lot of trouble. And I know it's not all the parent. You can't judge how a child turns out by the parent once that child gets a certain age. But while they're in your house, God holds you responsible. God's going to hold me responsible for three boys. Three little boys going to be, when I go before judgment one day, God's going to hold me, solely me and my wife, responsible for the things that we allow to go on in our household. Same thing with them. Sin's attractive. Why do you think people, why do you think when they put a beer commercial up, I've heard Preacher Stewart say this, and it's true, they put a beer commercial, they put something up on television, they don't put some kid laid up in the hospital room breathing through a tube in his throat and getting fed through something in his stomach. They put some pretty person. They put some man out there doing something special, like this beer or some sin. They want sins attractive to sinners. But at the same time, This verse we're in verse 20 says where sin abounded, as much as sin was attractive before you got saved, and if you're not saved, sin's still attractive, grace is more attractive. Amen. When God comes to you, when God came to me and started dealing with me in the pew, and when God started dealing with me, all the other things, I had certain goals, I had certain things in my mind. I was a senior in high school. I was graduating class of 2000. I was a senior in high school. I had certain things in my mind that I daydreamed about, certain goals that I had that I was going to do, and I was going to go after those goals. But when God started dealing with me, I had certain goals for that day. I remember. I'll tell you something, but I'm not going to tell them from the pulpit. I had certain goals for that day that I was going to do. And I was like, if this preacher would just quit preaching, if this preacher would just quit. I remember I worked at Lake Bowen Fish Camp. And this is how much the Lord was dealing. I would get other bus boys to bust their table and their table. Brother Terry, that's my brother's in-laws and or outlaws, whatever you call them. But I would get other bus boys to bust their tables because they'd always leave a track or try to tell me about church, try to invite me to church. And I'd had my feel of it because it was in conviction. I didn't know what was going on. I just got mad. All of a sudden, just fighting mad. But as much as sin is attractive, grace is attractive. As much as sin holds you captive, holds people captive, grace can hold you captive. And I would much rather be in under God. The Bible tells us that our body is God's now. Okay, I don't belong to being healed anymore. As much as I would like to go out and do certain things, and I'm not talking about sinful things, I still, even if I want to go out and buy a house, I would never go out and make a purchase of something like that without including God. I couldn't imagine putting myself in that situation and leaving God totally out of it. As much as sin's captive, we're more captive. Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. As much as we were wicked, now we're that much more righteous. As much as we were dead, we're that much more alive tonight. We're so alive, we're never, ever, ever going to die. Do you believe that? I believe that. 100%. Jesus told them in John chapter 10 and verse 27, he started in verse 11, said, "These are my sheep, they hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Okay? And wherever he goes, I'm going, and he's not going to stop going. And then it goes on to say, "No man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. My Father which gave to me is greater than me. No man can pluck them out of my hand." So we're not going anywhere now that we're saved. We're, as much as sin did abound, grace did much more abound. You think of how wicked things were and how wicked things are down here. We live in perilous times. You read the book of Peter, and the book of Peter tells us that we're in dangerous. That there's going to be divers temptations. It's dangerous times. You think about what one thing our president's trying to do. And I'm not just a president basher. I know that, and I know this. The Bible teaches me that I ought to pray for him. Those in higher authority in the book of Romans tells us that we ought to pray for those that have been set above us. It even says that God put them there. And that's what blows my mind, that God's letting things line up. But at the same time, that there's certain things that's going to happen. We know that Jesus is coming soon. It's not going to be much longer, and Jesus is coming. But our president, you can imagine, the things he's doing now, one of the things that makes the news is he's trying to build a Muslim mosque down where they had the attack of 9/11, and the Muslims are the one that killed so many of the people or that flew those planes into our Twin Towers. But at the same time, we're going to build them a mosque so they can go worship over where they killed all those people. Now, that's wicked, if you ask me. That's wicked. that the religion's wicked, the decision is wicked, but as much as that is wicked, God's got better things prepared for us. The Bible says it ain't even entered into the heart of man what God hath prepared to them that love him. We can't even imagine how good it's going to be, how much more abounding it's going to be. We can't even imagine it. Amen? I like it. I'm excited about it. Grace. I was listening to Dr. Seidler a couple weeks ago on Saturday night on the radio. I was coming home from work and he was on. And he said that grace is like preaching on grace is like trying to hug a mountain. You are trying to hug a big tree. He said you can hug a little bit at a time, but you'll never get it all done. You can never do it all at one time, and you'll never get it all done. Because God's grace is so... Bible says that His ways are past finding out. When I think of the word grace, I can't put one word in there to describe it. I've heard of the acrostic or whatever you call it, God's riches at Christ's expense. I like that one. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. It is unmerited favor. I guess I would use that one as much as anything. Grace is unmerited favor. We didn't do anything to deserve God's love. We did nothing to deserve the Lord Jesus Christ dying for us. There ain't a person in here this evening that you deserve to go to heaven on your own merit, on your own coattail, on your own accolades, or however you say that. You don't deserve it anyhow. But God's grace, it's His love, it's His gospel, it's His blood, His resurrection, it's His church, it's His goodness, it's His word. Those are words you can use to describe His grace. But I don't know any good word. I don't know one word, single word, or any good message that I could put together to tell you how much more grace can abound than the way sin abounded. But I can tell you this. If you came in here this evening and you don't know Jesus Christ, you might be hooked on this. You might be doing this. You might say, I heard a story. I believe Brother Stephen Shields' dad was preaching, used this as an example. And I'm pretty sure it's Tony Finney or Charles Finney, the great preacher. He said that he went to a man's house. A man had called for him. And right next to his house was a bar. And he told me, I want you to go over to this bar with me. So he went over to this bar. And he told me, he said, Preacher Finney, said, He said, right here, he said, I take people's last dimes and give them this slop to drink. He said, I can't get saved. He said, I'm taking people's food. I'm stealing kids' food out of their mouth. He said, their daddy's come up in here, and mamas don't know where they're at. And Brother Preacher Finney told him he didn't know what to say. He said, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. So he took him, he said, I want to show you this. He took him to a back room. Back where only certain people could get in, where certain gambling would go on and other wickedness would go on. He said, I bring people into here if they still got money left out of the bars. I bring them into here to get the rest of their money. He said, once they have gotten lost control of themselves, he said, I bring them here to get the rest of their money. They go home with no money. He said, their families can't even. He said, I know I can't be saved. And he just, the only thing he knew to tell them was the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sins. He took them back to another place and showed him what other wickedness took on there. And he just told him, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. That's for every one of us. That's for anybody. The blood of Jesus Christ. It don't matter who it is. It don't matter. You could be sitting here this evening and say, well, there's no way I can get... I've done too many bad things. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's grace, God's love, God's mercy, covers a multitude of sin. Amen. Hey, the blood wasn't just shed for so bad people. The blood was shed for everybody. Everybody comes short of God's glory, God's grace. All have sinned. Anybody in this building that's not saved and get born again. I'm praying for my boys. They ain't been hanging out at the clubs at night. They ain't been sneaking out the windows as far as I know. Now one of them I got a question about. That rascal, he's hard to tame. He's wild. But they ain't been out. But you know what? The same blood that Brother Bill goes and preaches to the prisons. I'm sure he's preached to murderers. I'm sure he's preached to accomplice, people that have helped commit murder, and rapists, people that we would pass up as saying, we would even say, there's no way that person want to get saved. There's no way God would save them. But He can, and He will. God take people like that and make a good church pew Christian, make anything He wants out of them. Amen. I mean, that's up to God. But if you hear this evening and you're still abounding in sin, I want to let you know that grace does much more abound. Amen. Now, this altar, don't have heard preachers say it many times, it has nothing magical. But I tell you, when you come down here and you get somebody that has prayed up and praying with you and dealing with there's something special about it. Amen. So I would strongly advise, I would not put off getting saved, getting right with God another day, anytime. Because I want to be found busy when the Lord, I want to be found serving the Lord when He comes back. It could be today. I mean, just as much as it could be any other time. The Lord's coming back real soon. I believe that. I believe He's not going to leave us here much longer. So let's pray and ask God to bless this invitation time. Pastor, if you would, I'll turn it back over to you. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, that when sin did abound, we came in here to this, Lord, this oasis, this well. Thank you for the man of God that brought the message, Lord, that the times that many people needed it. And God, we found out that grace did much more abound. Lord, you were here with outstretched arms. We thank you for your love this evening, your word that teaches us about you. I pray, Lord, this evening, if there be anybody in this building, Lord, that's lost, God, you know their heart. Lord, I pray that you would just take this attempt to preach the gospel and the word. Lord, I pray you just apply it. I pray the Holy Ghost of God would really take and minister to hearts. And Lord, I pray that you would just, Lord, help the hurting. I pray you'd encourage those that need it. Lord, I know you can take this message and do many different things. And I pray that you would. I just ask you, Lord, tonight that you would give the pastor, Lord, the leadership and the invitation. I pray for those that need to come. God, they wouldn't put it off. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.